Here's the way I see it. We all came to be here right now and to hold the sword of truth, but not to do it alone. I think we've had a lot of stuff on planet Earth where it was, you know, like one person. Mm-hmm. Now it's a whole light army of so many of us. Don't you feel that? You're meeting these people from all over the world that we never, ever would have met before. We'd do our little thing. I'd do my women's health stuff and the natural hormones and the herbs. And, you know, that's all great. I've done that work forever. But this is taking it to another level because we're birthing a new way of living together. And, you know, and I know that the tyranny will not stand. It will not stand. I mean, they've repeated it over and over and over, same playbook. In Germany, you certainly know what that playbook is.
Yeah.
And it's not going to stand because the light is getting lighter, so the dark is getting dark.
Yeah. Beautiful words. How can the female power find healing in the female body?
First, by checking your thoughts about your body. So what have you been taught? What has been the legacy? What is the current script running in your head? Okay. So have you been taught that as a woman, it is your lot in life to suffer? You know, men work from sun to sun, but women's work is never done. You know, that sort of thing. That the menstrual period is a curse and that you're designed for cramping and all of that stuff. That your moods are all about your hormones and your hormones are victimizing you. Okay, so all of those myths, all of which have been handed down to us for centuries. I mean, I had an ancient text, you know, Pliny the Elder, it's in Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom, said, you know, nothing is more toxic than the, you know, than the menstrual blood of women, you know, just all the places that are the most holy, the most sacred are the ones that we've been taught are cause for suffering. So it's a reverse of what is true. Mm-hmm. So we're taught that once you reach menopause and you're no longer a reproductive unit, therefore you're useless. And there's nothing to be gained from you. But here's, I want to give you an exact opposite of what's really true. The FSHLH in the brain, follicle stimulating hormone, luteinizing hormone that are created by the brain to go down to the ovary and say, hey, time to have an egg, so that they're only high at ovulation like this. And there's a peak FSHLH and a testosterone peak. And then you ovulate and then you move into what's called the luteal phase. Well, at ovulation, and any woman can relate to this, when she is ovulating, very often her libido is at the highest, but it's more than that. It's more than sex. It is that she is maximally open to cross-pollination, very, very receptive. And it's interesting that she's also puts out a pheromone that is a sex attractant chemical. And women report, you know, they'll be walking by a construction site and just come from a yoga class and no makeup and the hair's a mess. And the guys are, you know, they can, we're mammals. You can feel that. Well, take that one step further. That is you, a superpower of being maximally receptive. Well, that FSHLH peak like this stays up at the ovulatory level for the rest of your life after menopause. So that magic that we had just at ovulation for like 3 days is now, boop, that's now in your brain for the rest of your life. Meaning you are now so creative. Women are dreaming up businesses. It's like, but here's the thing. You cannot get this power I'm talking about unless you're taking care of your body. So what Western medicine would have you believe is that after the age of 50, you need yearly mammograms, you need colonoscopies, it's the beginning of the end. Well, it is true. If you keep doing what you've always done, you will get cellular inflammation and you'll get osteoporosis and heart disease and breast cancer and colon cancer and all the rest of it. What you want to do to get the power in the female body is you say, I'm not having it. That's not going to apply to me. So yes. I would stay away from conventional doctors entirely. I never go. I never have. I don't have a chart in there. You know, I just don't do it. So then what happens is you realize that this body, we turn over every cell in our body every 7 years, or it takes 7 years for all of them. So you get a new body every 7 years. Mm. Now you can have an entirely new body if you change the script that you're feeding the cells, and your body listens to every word. So you decide during perimenopause, when you're having hot flashes and the periods are maybe getting weird and all of that, and every bit of unjust stuff from your past is coming up and hitting you between the eyes. Okay. So you just decide, all right, now it's my time. I'm going to reinvent myself. As I say in Women, the Wisdom of Menopause, we are at grow or die, just like we are on the planet right now. Grow or die.
Yes.
You've got to take responsibility for yourself and realize you can be stronger. You can be more sensual. You can be happier than you've ever been before. That power is at your fingertips, but it will not happen if every one of your friends is always talking about the illness that they're having, the prescription drugs they're on, the doctors they've been running to. I mean, there are women having these deadening, life-deadening conversations all the time. It is a health risk to be around that energy. It's a health risk. Now, you don't have to throw them to the curb. You can see if you can bring the conversation around, you know, like you mm-hmm. can say, what is the most favorite thing that happened to you today so far? You know, just bring it around. You have the ability. Where all of this lands is your ability to think a different thought. It literally starts with thinking a different thought. And thoughts are accompanied by a cascade of metabolic chemicals in the body. Every thought we think is a biochemical reality in the body. Now, that does not mean, oh, everything is light and love and butterflies. You don't recreate yourself without some effort. It's like recently I started to work with a trainer with weight training, and he told me, okay, what you need to do every single day is this thing called, he says, it's Jungle 30. All right. So that's three sets of 10 squats, push-ups, sit-ups. I thought, that is so military. You know, I do Pilates, yoga, but, you know, not squats, push-ups, and sit-ups. But if you do them with perfect form, here's what happens, especially the squats. And this is really important for women. You get better and better and better, and it changes your entire pelvic floor. But at first, it is uncomfortable, because when was the last time you squatted down like a two-year-old? Like for me, a long time ago. I can crawl around on the rug with my grandchildren, no problem. Yeah. But the squat really needed work. And to do it, I had to, like, you know, dig my heels in, push my knees out, and then stay. This is important. Stay in that place of some discomfort, not pain, some discomfort. All growth comes from that, just that leading edge of some discomfort, but not pain. Mm-hmm. And then you just repeat the next day and the next day and the next day. And it's amazing to me how much you improve. And so what I never do is I never say, this is the thing that goes through the culture, well, at my age, it's too late to, you know, it's too late to learn a language, learn weight training, learn how to dance, travel on my own, drive at night, you know, any of those things. So don't let your age become a cage. In fact, what I say to women in my book, Goddesses Never Age, just don't give your age anymore. I mean, this is interesting. because we learn also by morphogenic fields. Rupert Sheldrake, the British biologist, talks about morphogenic fields mm-hmm. and how when a human does something that others haven't done yet, first they tell you it's impossible, like Roger Bannister running the 4-minute mile after being mm-hmm. told he'd never walk again. But as soon as he ran the 4-minute mile, which they said you couldn't do, everyone all over the planet was running the 4-minute mile. So those of us who are on the leading edge of this, you know, like I just decided after I had written the Wisdom of Menopause and all that, I just decided I am not going to go down this path of the divorced postmenopausal woman living at home alone with cats. Like I'm not going to do that thing. So how can I make that not my reality? Well, it starts with deciding that your age doesn't apply to you because chronologic age and biologic age are entirely different. I have this bathroom scale. I did a fast, and so I wanted to see what percentage of body weight, percentage of water in the body was and all that. It gives you your metabolic age. Mine is 29.
Whoa.
So,
yeah.
So you know, it changes. Sometimes yeah. it's 32. But that's what we have to remember. And all those machines in the gym, you know, where you put in your age. Mm-hmm. Well, if you put in your age and it's in a rather advanced age, the amount of work that you're going to do is programmed into the machine to be less. And like, why do you want to do that? Then to me, that's planned obsolescence. So I've been putting 40 in all the gym things mm-hmm. forever. I talked to a friend of mine, and she had an aunt who was like a legendary. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, this aunt's secret weapon was that she never got older than 33. You know, like she was never older than 33. And I've told That's my perfect. Daughter, okay, after 33, you never give your age again. No, yeah, you okay. have to go get your driver's license renewed and all that. And I tell my friends, by the way, don't tell me your age. I don't want to know. I don't want to know what's the number at this birthday. I don't have milestone birthdays. Oh, you know, you're 50. Oh, you're 60. You're 70. Mm-hmm. Oh, those are millstones. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Now, I celebrate my birthday big time. I love it. That's your solar return and it's sun conjunct sun. But putting an age to it, no. And what's interesting is after I wrote Goddesses Never Age, I had all kinds of people. Well, I'm proud of at this age I can do, and I'm proud of, and I don't see why. Are you afraid of your age? And it's like, they didn't get it. No. I'm not talking about that. I don't want my body to know. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get into the collective morphogenic field of what 50 is supposed yeah. to look like, what 60 is supposed to look like, what 70 is supposed to look. I don't want to get into it. So therefore, I don't want my body to know, and I don't want to know your age, because I'm as susceptible to putting someone in a box because of their age.
Yes.
As anybody. I don't want to do it.
Yeah. Could you please tell us something about women? When a woman is over 30 and wants a baby, it's like all doctors say, oh, now you need to go. You need to do it now.
Yeah. No. No, it's funny. I just had a podcast with Dr. Maritza Snyder, who has written a book about essential oils for menopause. And at the age of 38, she decided that what she wanted to do was take a year to prepare her body for pregnancy. She had Hashimoto's thyroiditis and she needed to change her diet. And so she just took a year at 38 to prepare. And then when she wanted to get pregnant, she got pregnant like almost immediately. And I think at the age of 40, and I remember doing a ceremony with one of my friends at the age of 39, 40, she was getting married and she wanted her IUD removed. And so we did a whole ritual about bringing in a soul and all of that. And she got married and was pregnant immediately because she never, ever bought it. You know, I did my training in a Catholic hospital, Irish Catholic. Mm-hmm. Those women were having a baby every single year until they were like 50. So we would have to do, in some of them, cesarean hysterectomies so they'd stop having babies because we weren't allowed to do tubal ligations. That group, that was the morphogenic field around being an Irish Catholic woman in Boston at that time, which is you are just going to be pregnant all the time. You know, you're going to have these large families of six and seven, even if they didn't want to. And we weren't allowed to do any, you know, no contraception. So now we've got the opposite, where women have, you know, they're not getting married when they're 21 or 19, and they're delaying childbearing. And all that time, they're not thinking of their womb and their body as this soil that you've got to prepare. But if you do think of it, there's all kinds of ways to extend your reproductive life. I had patients, you know, I remember a woman age 52 comes in, she thought she was in menopause. She had a lot of weight in the middle area of her body. She was pregnant. She was 6 months pregnant, didn't even know it. Now, that's the mind-body split, okay. But she had a perfectly normal baby. Another friend I just heard of just had completely normal twins conceived on her own, age 48. So what we need to do is get out of that cultural portal, because cultural portals are far more impactful in our biology than our belief system is unbelievably powerful. So women believe, oh my God, I'm 30. You know, my hairdresser, when she was 29, people said to her, oh, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Your 30th birthday is tomorrow. Like, oh, really? Okay, today I was 29. Now I'm 30, but my eggs just suddenly shriveled up, or 35. Remember that the assisted reproductive technology world makes a freaking fortune. They work by keeping women terrified that they won't be able to have a baby, instead of women's power, what we talked about. This body is made by God to create. I haven't thought of this for a while. I met a shaman way back named Brant Secunda. He was originally from Queens, New York, if you could believe it. Mm-hmm. And he was very into marijuana. And he was, this is like before the internet and all that. And he said, he was looking about cannabis and it says, see huichol. And he said, so I went to see him. And the huichols are a very remote tribe in the mountains of northern Mexico, where the Tarahumara are. And he died on the way, but they picked him up. He was almost dead. And they said, yeah, we knew you were coming. You know, we got the memo that you were coming. And then he lived with them for, I don't know, 18 years. And he said the women had babies in their 50s and 60s because nobody told them that their eggs were old. And the belief system of the culture was that conceiving a child, having a child, was something that the tribe supported utterly, utterly. And so they supported all pregnant women, and it was seen as a divine act, and they took care of them. So what I know, we also, by the way, we have experiments from MIT showing that mice, mammals, can create new eggs. You know, we're all told that you have the most eggs you'll ever have is a 20-week fetus. And then you start to lose the eggs. And, you know, by 35, that's the end of it. Well, that's not true. So I think we need to remember the miracle that is this human body. And we have evidence of spontaneous remission from all known diseases, ALS, all of them, all of them. And so the deal is you need to study what those people did. The book Radical Remission talks a lot about that. Mm-hmm. And of course, German New Medicine, case after case after case, mm-hmm. where the person realized what it was and was ready to own their power, like own this female power. What I do is I always think about my best years are all ahead. I always feel like my best years are all ahead.
Oh, wonderful. I got goosebumps because, yeah, no doctors say this to you, But it's so, I feel it's so true.
That's the thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. Women, this has been my biggest success. I write this stuff. I talk to women about it. And they say, just like you, I knew this. Mm-hmm. I knew this, but I never heard a doctor say it. Mm-hmm. So then what that does, because I've had all the training at Dartmouth Medical School, Tufts New England Medical Center, board certified, all of that with an MD degree and a professor and all of it. If I'm saying that, then my path to work and walk in that system, I then can give women back their power by saying, there's nothing over here that you need. It's all in here. It's all in here. But I know because I'm an insider. Mm-hmm. So I know how this works over here. And I love the good parts of it. Mm-hmm. If you're bleeding to death, it works great. Mm-hmm. But other for daily life, no. They'll just take your power away. Mm-hmm. And they keep inserting doubt. Well, could be this inserting of doubt is so lethal. Mm-hmm. So I just don't even go.
And they feed fear. And that's a big theme.
It's huge. Mm-hmm. We need to remember something. The dark forces feed on fear. It's a food source.
Yes.
I'm a fan of Barbara Marciniak's book, Bringers of the Dawn. And she talks about the food source of, she calls them lizards. I think the lizards is good. Fear and anger. Mm-hmm. So don't feed them. Mm-hmm. So yes, at first, righteous anger is a source of power. It's a source of health. It is a cause of health, righteous anger. But you don't want to stay there. Mm. I mean, when we wake up to what's been done to women, to the feminine in men, when we wake up to that, then it is normal to have righteous anger. It is normal when you realize what you've been talked into against your better judgment. Yes, you should be angry, but you don't want to stay there. Like the whole medical system, medical insurance, all of that. I've known how ridiculous that was for years. And when someone finds out, well, that shouldn't be that way. No, it shouldn't, but it is. So you're either going to fight that. Okay, like I want to give you an example. So right now we have so many people leaving the school system and homeschooling their children because they don't like what the children are being taught and the indoctrination, or they don't like the fact that the kid needs 18 different toxic shots to go to school. So you can either spend your time fighting the mainstream system with the teachers, with the legislature, with the government, or you can get on with, what's the curriculum I'm going to use? I'm going to keep my kids at home. Wow, I'm noticing that they're happier and healthier. Now, there's no one right answer to that. Some people were born to confront the school system, and all of these parents in Vail, Colorado, all got together and managed to get the mask mandate removed from the school. So you can do that. Plus, it's fun. It's fun to work with other people and do this work, but you got to keep it fun. Because the minute you get into victim again, then there's no power. Then there's no power. So you have to see yourself as more powerful than them. Because anyone who's using control for power, that's not power. That's not power.
Yes.
No, it's like, let me give you control. A friend of mine had a girlfriend, and she said, if he left her, she would commit suicide. And he actually married her. Okay, to me, I'd say, go ahead. Can I bring you a gun? How would you like to do it? I mean, I'm serious here. That's just control and manipulation. Mm-hmm. Any woman's, my daughter had all these friends in college, Asian friends, and their parents said, if they dated someone who wasn't Asian, their aunt back in Vietnam or China or whatever would become so depressed she'd have to go on antidepressants. Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead and be on antidepressants. Mm-hmm. This is my life. This is the man I choose to be with.
Yes.
But the pressure, okay, we've got to remember the pressure of the collective, of your personal tribe is enormous. And right now, each of us is being asked to find each other, the people. I had a meeting at my house very recently. And so we're, you know, we're kind of a just a medical freedom group and helping each other with organic farming and, you know, all of that. And we had a couple people who were new and they said, oh, my goodness, this feels so good to be in a group of like-minded people. I've been essentially alone thinking I was the only one thinking this for the last year. So remember, all tribes wound their members in three ways. This is the work of Dr. Mario Martinez. Shame, abandonment, betrayal. If you step out of line, and that's what the dark forces have used. Oh, you know, cover your face so that you can't breathe oxygen to protect this person. What? What? You need to get a biologic experimental thing injected into you that has 50 billion molecules of a synthetic protein. You need to do that to protect me. This is what they do. So that's shaming, yeah. Shaming. And it feels terrible. Because shame means you are a mistake. It means, you know, where yes. You're going to be banished from the tribe and you will be abandoned. You can't come and see your grandchildren unless you get this thing. Okay. And then betrayal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those are painful things. And those are what's used to control. But then you find your own group. You listen to your podcast. You listen to me. You do my Telegram channel. You read one of my books. And little by little by little by little, you remember who you are. You remember what your power is. And then you try it out. Like that squat. A little lower next time. A little uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But we did it. Like just taking your mask off to go into a store. Or I do this at airports. Just take the mask off. See how long it takes before someone says something. Oh, okay. I have it right here.
It will be very interesting the next weeks, months, and years.
It will. And yeah. We all decided to come here at the same time mm-hmm. so that we could support each other.
My last questions. For many people, health means the functioning of the body. And the only thing that matters is symptom elimination. What does female health mean to you?
Female health means to me taking every symptom as guidance, that there's some course correction that is necessary. So if you have PMS, premenstrual syndrome, I can guarantee you that there's something off with your diet or your relationships or your thoughts. Women are not meant to suffer through the most fundamental cycle that brings life to the earth. So use that symptom as a guidepost. And I personally had terrible menstrual cramps and had to, you know, sometimes sign out of surgery and have someone else complete the surgery. So I understand. I understand. It's not, you know, so what you want to do, because if someone says, well, you know, just go on birth control pills, right? Well, that what that's like is putting duct tape over the instrument panel on your car. So that's what most medicine does. We're just, you know, can't you give me a pill? Well, yeah, you can get on birth control pills and then you will never know that guidance system that is your menstrual cycle will shut that right down and you never have to think about it. But here's the thing. The bill will always come due. The body never lies, and the bill will always come due. So it would be prudent to begin to pay attention before you're bankrupt.
So wonderful. And you said my next two questions are on this. You said it already, so perfect. My very last question. If you had the opportunity to wave a magic wand and wish something for the world, what would it be?
That we would wake up to the glory and the beauty of the human who is the steward of nature and animals and water and that we would walk on the planet as divine beings connected to God in the Garden of Eden, and we would know it.
Thank you so, so much for this amazing interview.
War das ein wertvolles Gespräch mit Christiane Northrup. Ich bin so, so, so dankbar für all ihre Worte, für ihr Sein, für ihr Tun, für ihr, ja, alles, was sie in die Welt hinausgibt. Allein ihre Website, da sind so viele Informationen, die so hilfreich sind für alle Frauen auf dieser Welt. Ich habe all ihre Bücher, also zumindest einen Auszug ihrer Bücher, sie hat ja viele Bücher geschrieben. Ich habe ihre Website, ich habe ihre ganzen Social Media Kontaktdaten in die Shownotes gesetzt. Du findest auch alle Links zu den Kollegen und Kolleginnen, die sie genannt hat, sowie auch hier die Buchtipps, die sie erwähnt hat. Und ich hoffe, es war genauso wertvoll für dich wie für mich. Und wenn dir diese Podcast-Folge gefallen hat oder die zwei Folgen, dann bitte teile sie doch mit all den Frauen um dich herum. Und ja, ich wünsche dir einen schönen Tag, ich wünsche dir einen schönen Abend. Falls du übrigens Lust hast, mit auf Retreats zu gehen, das nächste auf Mallorca ist zwar ausgebucht, aber es folgen im Sommer noch einige mehr. Schau auch gerne auf meiner Website vorbei. Auch hier gehen wir in die Frauenarbeit hinein. Und ja, danke für dein Sein. Fühl dich geliebt und bis zur nächsten Woche. Namaste und Satnam, deine Nadine.
Thank you
for your work, for everything.
Thank you. Yeah. Beautiful to meet you. You're angelic light.